Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If Love and Gogi is wrong, I don't want to be right.
What would Socrates say to that?
It tickles my face.
Okay.
Goosies.
I don't have hair!
Oof.
You got Marcos.
That's not.
Wait.
Yeah,
that's true. You do got me.
Get over here, Marcos. Let me look at you.
They don't want it.
Toby and Leroy, ready to deploy. Had to hit it with a little journalism, but that was a decoy. Better have about me, boy. Okay. Leroy and Tobin, hold to the show, man. Still on the sauce with the show, man. Till then, his half moon open. Sometimes go taste like a snowman. No proof, I'm alive by the morning. No proof. Like I always wanted him, I never hated him. I never traded him, and if I did, I never ever traded. You know what? What is a star? Like under the city, the driver's side fly. Goose like a large, so many more. 10 in the mar, never a bar. Hey, 10 in the mar, 20 to pee. Nothing to you, but it's something to me. Handsome as ever and cute as can be. You can watch us on YouTube review for free. This one time for the Twitch. This one time for the text. This one time for the phone line. Whole time wonder what they gonna do next.
You know, I just wish you guys would stop the quibbling.
Morning, everybody! Ow!
Ooh, that morning sounds a little bit scratchy. Hey.
Wow!
What a football game.
Dude!
Vlad, if you went to a different school and don't like either of the schools playing, even you were on the edge of your seat last night.
I did go to neither school. I didn't go to either Ole Miss or Miami, yeah. But I am a Canes fan.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying if you're not a fan of
no
either
dog
team,
in the race.
Oh, no! If you wanted to watch pure adrenaline, pure competition, just back and forth. That was last night.
That was crazy. Oh, my God.
That was crazy.
It was crazy. And, the cheeks.
Fourth quarter cheeks were tight.
Hey, woo. I'm going to tell you how bad the game got. So, I'm watching the game with Mima because.
Oh, boy.
Well, yeah. And she's an over-enthusiastic cheerer. It got to the point where she said, I can't watch. I'm going to bed. Tell me what happens.
She got stressed out?
Yes.
Wow. Mima couldn't take
it?
Yes. I got to tell you, I had people were asking me yesterday when I did the old pool cannonball, which wakes up my entire neighborhood. I mean, that's the whole point of it. And, you know, last time I had a sidekick, of course, was my son, Tommy Tobin. And he goes, you know, and this is the problem with sometimes when you have a teacher wife, you know, school comes first. And she's like, he's got to go to bed. I was like, fine. And he's like, he looks at me, gives me a look. He goes, you wake me up for the pool jump? And I was like, yeah, I'll wake you up for the pool jump. And so, like, the as soon as the ball's called incomplete, I, like, run to the room, like, Tommy, let's go to the pool. And he goes, I can't get up. And so he just didn't have it in him. Little guy was tuckered out. But we jumped in that pool. Oh, did we jump in that pool?
It was, you know, and the cool thing for me was, as I watched this game and as this game was playing out, when the tip ball got picked off, right? I'm thinking, man, this has the SMU feel all over it, right? They had opportunities to get picks off of Chambliss and didn't, and I'm like, oh.
It was crazy, boy. Dude. How many dropped interceptions?
Four. One was a pick six.
Oh. Yeah. Oh,
one of the,
yeah.
Oh, that one at the end of the first half? Easy.
Where he jumped the little short route?
Easy.
Yeah. Jumped it. It looked like it could have been the same play that was at the Cotton Bowl.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I was beside myself last night with all the mishaps. Then, you know, we haven't seen the Canes play an undisciplined game like that in a while. And it was, goodness. And so those were shooting you in the foot and killing drives.
Wait, can I ask, I don't, what's his name, number 11?
What the hell was he thinking?
Wait. You know damn well your big ass ain't going to be able to do it sneakily. He kind of went in and laid on the guy. Ooh. I'm like, what? You're the biggest guy on the field. Who you sneaking around
in? In front of two referees.
Right. Now, I will say this. The first targeting, the targeting that was called.
Which one? The Ole Miss one or the UM one?
The UM one.
Because the Ole Miss one was more.
The Ole Miss one was more of a targeting
than
yeah. Right.
I was beside myself with that one.
How are we supposed to, and I was looking at it from a football perspective.
What do you do?
That guy is up. How are we supposed to know that he's on his way down?
I don't like targeting. I hate it as a rule. I hate targeting in general.
Here's why, and here's my biggest gripe about the rules of football, right? And it pertains to this mostly. You have two moving parts. And I'm going to tell you, as a runner that is getting ready to get hit, the first thing you do is cringe a little bit. So you are actually, when the defender picks a target to hit the target and then you move,
mm-hmm.
you sometimes put yourself in harm's way, and thus it's not a targeting. And these guys who haven't been a part of this, it's hard for them to figure that part of it out.
It was such a crazy thing. And then they go to that official, and he was no help. I don't know who that guy is. The dude who they go into the booth. What do you think for us, Charlie? And he goes, great call. Right call. He just kept he was like Steve Javy back in the NBA Finals back in the day.
Well, where they'd always the first one he thought it was the bad call. He thought that the player should have been kicked out for Ole Miss.
Yes, correct.
Well, they originally called targeting, so he thought they were just going to confirm it.
Right, he's like, oh, this shouldn't even take long.
Every time they called something, he just agreed with the ref. So originally when they went to him, like he was he thought he was agreeing. So, but like
and
every
then
time.
They changed. Which, by the way, they usually never change targeting unless it's, just clear. And so that part of it frustrated me. And here's the thing that, because I'm more than sure all Canes fans were doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And like when they called the pass interference and they go, oh, these refs are killing us. I'm like, tell your guys, stop being grabby. I mean, he was all over him.
I know. Thanks for Lane Kiffin last night, by the way, chiming in, being at the end of the last week. He was pass interference. Hey, listen, you guys only have 20 years to think about pass interference in the Fiesta Bowl. Don't worry about it.
It's only right. It's only right.
I don't know.
Every Kane fan was feeling, oh my, these are the ghosts of the Fiesta Bowl of the past.
Yep.
Right.
Like, that's how we were feeling. Like, okay, all of a sudden they're undisciplined. All of a sudden, ball. I'm talking about, listen, guys. Whatever you had on your hands and gloves, secondary, take it off. I've never seen
so many drop balls.
And tips. You're talking about tips. They're tipping balls into themselves.
Right. Look, not even hard thrown. All you had to do was receive the bread.
Just
receive the bread.
They were doing, they were like passing to three of them. It was like three of them all looking at each other. Besanth is like, deep shot bounces off. O'Connor's looking at it.
And every time they did that, guess what happened? Ole Miss would score.
Right. Or yeah, or something momentum. It was listen, really crazy. It was really.
If you were a scarred Canes fan, this is definitely wasn't the end of a game to heal wounds.
Nope.
Because I got to tell you, Carson Beck made up for when you think about we got questions about Carson Beck, and dude calmly went out there with those stones.
Yeah, we call him.
And took care of it. He ran when he needed to run.
Yep.
He threw it where he needed to be thrown. And he threw into some tight, so it wasn't like he was playing conservative.
No.
He was thrown into some tight windows, throwing dimes.
Yeah, well, we refer to him as his new name on this show.
Oh, we got a new name?
Yeah, it's Triple B. It's Big Balls Beck. That's what he is. He's Triple B now, dude.
He's Big Baller Brand.
But I feel like, dude, much
more. Big Baller Brand is under new management.
New management. What a time, dude. And then, I mean, the noise I made, first of all, when they had, you know, because we're like, you know, you're doing this game of the Canes are doing this methodical drive down the field and everything for Ole Miss feels like lightning strikes. And then they reverse it, and the Canes, they get that touchdown to Malachi Toney, and you're like, whoa! But was it too fast? And you're just like, no, you just got to take the lead. And then they battle back, and they're scoring, and you're just like, oh, but they left them too much time! And just the perfect drive down the field, Stones throws, C.J. Daniels, Keelan Marion, oh!
You know what? It never ever looked like anybody was rushed during that drive. You know, they called timeouts when they need to call timeouts. They let the clock run when the clock needed to run. It was perfect execution. And I'm like, when Beck took off and ran, I'm like, there's nobody there! There's nobody there! Oh. Like, oh my goodness.
That's what you said.
I'm like, and then I'm thinking, you know, because I'm scarred.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking, oh, two hands on the ball, baby. None of them accidental slips. He's, you know.
No, definitely, dude.
But what if you are a Canes fan, there is nothing that you can complain about, because that was a great game that your team took care of business regardless of what went on. And you could tell. And I pointed this out. In the middle of the fourth quarter, both defenses were exhausted.
Dude, it was crazy.
And that's part of it. 73, he wasn't, they go, oh, he needs to concentrate. Oh, he was tired. Yeah. He was tired. That's what happens when you're tired.
Two bad penalties.
Ugh, yeah.
Bad false start penalties.
And so it was, my goodness.
He said after the game, Cam Ward gave him the look. He's like, I'm never going to false start in front of Cam Ward again. Cam Wood, it was cool that he got to be there with the guys. And then, dude, like, just the idea of they get to play for the championship in
at home.
Their building.
Hey, just think about one game, man. Just trying to go 1-0.
1-0, dude. I mean, Mario Cristobal. We could just do the whole show on just Mario reactions to everything.
Did you not react, dude?
When he got hugged by his assistant after the go-ahead, and he was so mad at him.
That's very Nick Saban.
He had no interest. He's like, not till zeros.
You know, you went to coach and rehab with Nick Saban.
Yeah,
that's very Nick Saban.
Yeah, we'll get it. Like, it was impressive. Then, I mean, the reaction he had when Mark Fletcher had that run where, like, he got they just bulldozed for, like, 17 yards with the whole offensive line.
He just gave it.
That had to be better than sex for him.
No, he needed a cigarette right
now. Like, he was in complete bliss when he just saw the line being tough. I mean, it was so cool. But I'm serious, dude,
You know what I was shocked? I was shocked that Chambliss was rushed,
mm-hmm.
but never really sacked.
Mm-hmm. He was.
They were getting him to throw to it. He threw some balls that he knew the rush was there. But they never really got to him, and then guys start dropping like flies. I'm like, oh my goodness. Oh, please don't. Like,
Dade South says, I like Mario telling him to get the team on stage instead of all the corporate phonies. Oh, the Verbo lady who's tried to present the we here at Verbo congratulate.
I mean,
the Hurricanes.
How about this? There's no better run than a college CFP run, because you get a trophy after every game.
Oh, dude, it's awesome. It's awesome. I was like, I didn't know how the trophy worked, because the last one was just a big trophy. This one, I was like, oh, the ball comes off.
Hey,
it's got
this is crazy, Dave. You get a trophy for every bowl game in the playoffs.
It's fun, baby.
Because you know all them sponsors need to go up there and talk.
Dude, But he was a delight, and we'll get all into it. He was on Joe Rose this morning. We'll give you some of Mario as well. We'll celebrate.
You gonna
today.
Get that quick announcement?
We'll get to it. Yeah, the Dolphins have just hired a GM.
We can come back.
It's not the Harbaugh guy. We'll get to it. Everybody's like, get to it. It's like, no, I'm gonna celebrate the Canes. You know what? The Dolphins having a fresh start on something and hiring GM guy I've known for 3 seconds. Sorry, dude. 20 years. The Miami Dolphins still haven't won a playoff game. I'm sure this guy will solve it. We'll get to it. John Eric Sullivan is their new GM. We'll get to it.
I agree with you. Leroy, you weren't here yesterday, so we have to get on Tobin. Somebody said this was going to be a blowout.
Dude, let me tell you something.
I feel good
about my prediction.
Oh, wait, you both felt like the Canes were going to be.
I thought the score would be like 27-13.
I felt good about my. Zog was giving me hell. He's like, what do you think is going to happen? I said, dude, because everybody was asking me. I was like, I'm thinking they're going to take in 2 tickets to Blowout City to this team. Like, that's where they're going. And you know, people
it
got
seemed
mad.
Like, that's where it was headed.
That's what I thought. I was like, I feel good. I feel like the Canes should have blown them out. I give major props to Ole Miss and Chambliss and their coach with everything they've dealt with. And also the Canes did not play their greatest game. I really don't feel bad about my prediction. You know, I would have felt terrible if they would have lost.
Wait, but here's the deal. The score didn't reflect how much the Canes actually dominated time of possession and all that stuff. But the penalties, the drop balls, they catch two of those balls. The game's not even close.
Oh, 100%. 100%. That's they barely had the ball in the first half. It was crazy. But man, I can't believe it. A championship game on the 19th in Miami.
Day before my birthday.
This is so cool. This is so cool.
Martin Luther King Day.
Yes.
Your birthday is the 20th?
Yes.
We always do this. This is crazy. Your birthday is my son's birthday and Leroy's birthday is my daughter's birthday.
Yeah, the blacks love you.
That's crazy, dude. Oh, man. Headlines are brought to you by Doral Kia. You always pay less with your Pricito at Doral Kia. Visit us at Doral Kia or DoralKia.com. We will get into the Dolphins. They have just hired their new general manager. It's not the Harbaugh guy. It's the Packers guy. So John Eric Sullivan is going to be named the Miami Dolphins GM. Fast process for them. So we'll get into all that today. The Hurricanes, the final score is 31-27. Carson Beck. He threw for 268 yards, 2 touchdowns, ran for the go-ahead. It was Goosey's galore. They will await the winner of Oregon, Indiana. They play in the Peach Bowl tonight. Miami Heat didn't play last night. The stupid building didn't work. Their court was too wet.
You know who I felt so bad for? I told Tobin this. I haven't talked to her, but that had to drive Brittany crazy.
Oh my God.
Because
there's no way her voice, there's no way she could do radio today.
No.
It all depends because they had – how long was that wait? At least
it was
two
a long
time. It was a long wait.
At least 2 hours.
It was a two-hour wait. So
I just kept looking because it was like my – it was on the side TV, and I was just like, the hell's going on out there? Like, it was – and they just – it was treated like a Marlins rain delay because then they, like, ran out of programming. At one point, they played a boxing match. Like, they just ran out of the – like, we ran out of inside the heats. What else do we got? We got boxing. Throw that on there.
And it was an NBA TV game, too.
Yeah. Wild. Wild. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show. We're back after this.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first 2 orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You know, the Dolphins' new GM kind of looks like John Hamm. It looks like John Hamm could play him. If the Dolphins ever have a resurgence, John Hamm could be vibing in the club down here. Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Basking in it. Miami Hurricanes going to the national championship. They'll await the winner of Oregon or Indiana, which will take place tonight. They win last night over Ole Miss. The Miami Dolphins, it has been just announced in the midst of our opening segment, It'd been great. Leroy, you missed it yesterday. We had the McDaniel firing. I was like, oh, man, that's like a tradition for me and Leroy. We do Dolphins firing shows. Yeah. We've had the last three. We've gotten the coach has gotten fired during our show. That's usually a thing. How was your last couple of days? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I did. Played with some Indiana golfers.
Oh, really? Like, yeah. On the team?
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They're just down for break. They go back Sunday. And so the friend of Jason's, we went over there to golf with him. He's from Cleveland. So we golfed with him at his golf course, which – and the kids, they're so good. But the – and Jason is built like melted ice cream, but that's okay.
I'm sure you let him know about it.
Oh yeah, but we had we had fun. I hadn't like actually hung out with him and just golfed and had fun, because with him being on tour and everything, you kind of get away from that because everything's so serious. But when I talked to him when he came down when he played last year,
mm-hmm.
He's like, I'm not feeling golf, right? And now he's getting close to, the senior tour.
Wow.
And he's like, I'm back, babe.
Wow.
He's like, I'm back. So he's been working on this game, and he's a weird bird in that you hear how guys, constantly work at golf.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, this is my third day since November golfing.
So, this broke last segment. The Dolphins, they are hiring Packers.
Why we got to use three names? I thought we only did that with serial killers.
That's what he is, dude. He's got three names. Packers VP of Player Personnel, John Eric Sullivan. No H in his John, J-O-N. As their general manager, Adam Schefter tweets out, new Dolphins GM, John Eric Sullivan, is son of Jerry Sullivan, longtime NFL and college coach who retired in 2021 with more than 40 years of coaching. His father was the Dolphins wide receiver coach in 2004. And Sullivan has been in Green Bay since 2003, started as a scouting intern. He served as the Packers vice president of player personnel since 2022. So he gets the job yesterday. It's pretty much narrowed down to three. It was either him or this Chad Alexander, who had a lot of ties to Harbaugh, because the Harbaugh smoke got crazy yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
But, there's also a lot of Harbaugh might go to the Giants. I know people were dissecting yesterday. Jackson Dart was on the sidelines of the national championship, and somebody was like, I think he said Stefanski.
Or Harbaugh.
Or Harbaugh. Yeah, and so, I think the Giants are going out there and they're trying to put everything into getting Harbaugh.
You know why they would go Stefanski over Harbaugh? And the position that Harbaugh is in,
mm-hmm.
and he's going to demand more power. And I always wonder, if you're a GM and you're hiring a coach, why would you relinquish any power to him? There's a lot of that. And that's why a lot of these guys, hire younger guys or hire, guys where they can maintain the power. And we see it all the time. And so from that standpoint, I could see them going with Stefanski over Harbaugh simply because he doesn't want, to work for the coach, the GM.
Yeah. Well, so the Dolphins, if this isn't Harbaugh, and they've said, listen, the Dolphins were very adamant yesterday, and I wasn't very, I didn't really buy it, but it seems to be the case is that they were putting out that, hey, this has nothing to do with Harbaugh firing Mike McDaniel. We don't have any inclination that we're going to get Harbaugh. Now, was it super convenient that minute Harbaugh got fired, they put up another candidate who had ties to Harbaugh? Yes, there was, but this guy was, I think, this was one of the more popular candidates. People were talking about John Eric Sullivan, and the Packers got a great, I guess, would you say the Packers have a culture? Like that's they feel like they.
Yeah. Well, it's weird because the Packers kind of make football decisions in anonymity, right? And like, even when they got rid of Brett Favre, even when they got rid of Aaron Rodgers, even when, you know, some of the decisions that they've made, they don't seem to have the same reaction as like decisions with other teams. And I don't know whether that's because it's a small market team or there's really no owner to meddle.
Yeah, it's possible.
You see what I mean? So,
for sure.
So from that standpoint, yeah, I would say that the culture is good because if you have a certain job in Green Bay, you know you're doing that job without having to deal with an individual.
Guy says, does that make Mike McCarthy more likely? I mean, it's possible. Mike McCarthy's out there.
I mean, they have some relationship. They have had some relationship, but who said it was good?
I don't know.
Like, we're just assuming, oh, Mike McCarthy, he might be. Yeah. We're assuming that breakup and why they decided to go a different route with Mike McCarthy was just a mutual parting of ways. It could have been like, we don't think you're a good coach.
Probably just start the interview and be like, Aaron Rodgers, huh?
That's what I would do.
There was a there's also some stuff on their DC, Jeff Hafley. He's like one of the candidates out there. Now,
do you want a new guy or do you want somebody who has some type of record?
He's never been a head coach in the pros, but Vlad pointed out to me he was the head coach in college for Boston College. So,
yeah.
He's got head coaching experience, just not pro head coaching experience.
But what he's done the last 2 years as the DC of the Packers defense, and they've been top five or top 10 the last
that
two seasons.
That, you know what, and that is the tie-in right there. So if you're looking at what guys, you know, Sullivan would feel comfortable with and have a relationship with, those things always tend to be strong, especially in the NFL, where if you go back to a lot of the decisions, you could always see, oh, they crossed paths with this team, or they grew up, you know, they kind of came up through the ranks together, or something along those lines. As to whether the guys would be comfortable working with each other.
This guy, Kentucky Finn, says Tobin was this close to being a mush last night. Hey, this close is not being a mush.
Don't worry.
You're either a mush or not a mush.
Hey, you texted him. He was on mush alert.
Oh, man. I was like, no, boy.
No, Tobin, were you like...
Leroy.
Oh,
Leroy. Man, you put a quarter in there, five nickels would have came out.
Dude.
Okay. Yeah. I would have been able to make that much change. Okay. Yeah. Oh, and I'm thinking about it, and I'm like, Tobin said this was going to be easy.
Should have been
he
easy.
He was not wrong. Dude. But it's Tobin.
It should have been so much easier. And it was the hardest thing ever.
Now, it's weird because did you not feel like, man, this game is close and Miami's dominating them?
Yes.
You know, if you saw the time of possession after the third
That's
quarter.
That's what I was looking at, Vlad.
It was 3-1. It was 3-1, UM.
Rome just says, pick baby Jesus. I think we got to wait like at least another year. I don't know. You know, he should skip rules. Dude, that catch that he had that wasn't a catch should have been a catch.
No, it's a catch.
That should be a catch.
You can't tell me if I put my toe down and then I put my heel down afterwards. It's not a catch.
Oh, my God.
No, 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 no. That's not how it goes. If your heel hits at all, then it has to be in play. If you toe tap and the heel doesn't hit, you're good. But if the heel comes down, it has to be in play. That's the rule.
But what if my toe hits the grass before my heel?
It doesn't matter. If the toe hits, the heel can hit.
But we're not
Whatever
flamingos.
Whatever then hits after that toe is considered. Yeah, that's the rule. I don't make the rule. That's the rule. So while we're sitting here arguing about whether it was a catch or not, that is the rule. You do with it what you want. Whether you want to use the rule or not, it's up to you. The official used the rule.
If anybody's going to know about toes, it would be Leroy.
Man. But I got to tell you, and like you couldn't, when they showed the play live and they said it was a catch, you're like, you couldn't really get a good look. But then they went the other angle and showed the actual catch, and you're like, what is this sorcery?
That was crazy.
That's what I was thinking.
I was like, how does he keep topping himself?
I was thinking of the State Farm commercial. I'm like, this is sorcery.
But like this kid, how does he keep topping himself?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
You know what's amazing about him? He seems like he's a senior and he's been in the program for 3 years. Right? And because I mean, how do you look to an 18-year-old for all your big plays? Well, right?
He had help now. He had help.
Oh, man. He did.
Mr. Morton came out yesterday. He showed out. He showed. Yeah. He showed improved yesterday.
Yeah. You guys, and it's a little bit of nuance, but I'm going to tell you the greatest sign of players knowing what to do. When he caught the first down on like the 10 and he ran the square in but started coming back towards the ball, right? That is good coaching. You don't run that thing straight across. You kind of curl it in. Even though it's a crossing route, you start coming back to the ball to give the quarterback somewhere to throw it. And so that was perfectly executed by both the quarterback where the ball was and the receiver coming back to the ball. Even though he's downfield running the crossing route, I'm like, wow, these guys are well coached. And you don't see that all the time because a lot of guys try to fade across and then get undercut. That was like, I'm like, wow. But Carson Beck throwing dimes.
Yep.
Very accurate. He missed Malachi. Whew.
Yeah, too bad.
Twice.
Though. Yeah,
he when he missed Malachi, he was running down the field and he threw it outside.
Instead of in the middle, down the middle.
Yeah, you know, but
it looks like
I know why he did it because there was a safety there, but that safety had like, what was wrong with their safety? I'm like, why on earth was he running up all the time? I'm like, yo, you gonna keep getting beat over the top, bro?
You know what's crazy about it? It kind of looks sometimes when Carson Beck's throwing. You remember the movie Rookie of the Year with Henry Rowan Garner?
Yeah, it kind of
looks like he's still trying to feel out his arm. Because his arm isn't all the way back. So, like, sometimes it looks like the ball just takes off on his ass. Like, whoa.
That's what's bothered me all game yesterday. Because I'm in my group chat with my friends, and I'm like, yeah, his arm is not that strong anymore. Remember, he had Tommy John last season, blah, blah, blah. But then,
and then.
Then that last drive, phew, third and 10 to Morton, phew. I was like, this guy's got triple Bs. Now,
you know what's crazy? And you got to give the offensive coordinator credit for this. In the last 2 weeks, they have been like 60% on third down.
Oh, dude, it's ridiculous.
Like, it is, if you want to take a stat that shows you, like, how well you're playing football, when you look at stats, say, 8 of 15 from against Ohio State or 7 for, and you do it again the following week, I'm like, like that doesn't happen.
I'd also like that this team, like, it has this balance between having so much power, but then like Shannon Dawson has a little McDaniel in him where he just loves to do something crazy.
Now it came at some inopportune times.
It always comes in inopportune times. Like they'll just, all right, we're gonna mow this one down. And I just gotta feel like I'm sure that Mario Griswold loves Shannon Dawson, but it has to really wrestle with him where he's just like,
I think it's a trust thing, man, because. Like, what this man has done all year, especially the last couple of weeks, you just say, I'm not a fan of it, but go ahead. Do your thing. You know, that's kind of how you do it. I would tell you this. When I tell you about those routes right there, that route and that pass right there, I'm going to tell you two other situations that absolutely, absolutely would have driven you crazy today. Those two lateral passes that the players knew to pick up and keep going. So I think one was to the running back where it was a lateral and he picked it up and ran because we had the same situation with the Dolphins and the ball was just sitting there.
Schmierman says, I almost broke my TV when he called that flea flicker.
He's right. Because here's the thing. I don't know. Canes fans, let me know. Wasn't there a part of the game that's like, keep grounding and pounding them? Like, why would... Every time we ran the ball, it was 5-6 yards a carry.
Dude, it literally seemed like only slippage on the turf that was stopping the Hurricanes.
It was some type of condensation. There was condensation everywhere.
Early in the game, I was like, uh-oh, because I see some, you know, looking like Looney Tunes out there slipping on that grass.
Oh, my God.
Condensation in the desert? Like, give yourself a minus one for just not knowing geography or something.
Listen, dude, we just saw a hockey game get played in Miami, and we saw a game indoors get rained out just now.
Yeah, this conversation's over. Yeah.
All right, but still, it's the desert.
I know. If it's just a joke, Leroy.
Well,
it's
a joke. We'll take a break. More to come here on the show.
You're laughing.
After this.
So here's the thing with homemade meals. Eating them is great. But all the chopping and measuring and cleanup, not so much. With new one-pan assemble and bake meals from Blue Apron, you get all the flavor of homemade meals with a fraction of the work. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients, bake in the oven, and enjoy. Shop Assemble and Bake at BlueApron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit BlueApron.com/terms for more.
Oh, welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you on FM 104.3 WQAM. Got playoffs coming up. Playoffs! Got CFP tonight. You got NFL starting tomorrow. The Heat, they got a day off yesterday because the stupid Bulls court doesn't work. The Panthers got smoked. They lost 6-2. Tough day for my boy Bob. I didn't watch much of the game, so I can't speak on it. But
five goal Bob
had a tough day. But they also, but also, they have eight guys out because no Seth Jones, no Marchand, you know. So who the hell's out there playing defense? They're just calling up checkers, you know. So, but the Canes victorious yesterday. Mario Cristobal getting up early. He was on Joe Rose today, Leroy. This was what Mario Cristobal had to say on the group. He said he knew they were special.
I mean, this group, you could tell they were special in the summer. They were just different. Like we hit really well on both the high school guys. The guys that had been here for a while, they had matured to a level where they weren't going to be denied. And then the portal guys, we just did a better job on just making sure the character and the DNA and the wiring and the mindset were what we were looking for. That's a great combination. And these guys, you know, we work to a point where you have to have love and respect for each other because it's not everybody. So I think we felt it early on, but when we played Notre Dame game one, we all felt that, okay, this could be a special season. But Joe, we got to get a lot better, man. You know, we did a lot of things that hurt us, and we got to get back to work. We're on our way to the airport here in a few, and, you know, we're on the film and we got to get at it.
Classic. Well, I tell you, coaching 101. Football is different than any other sport. So no matter how much, how well you play, what you win for, the coach will get up and say, oh, we got a lot of work. We're almost there.
In fairness, they did have a lot of mistakes.
I know, but most of them were what? Can't catch?
Can't catch and tired false starts.
Exhaust. There was a lot of exhausted players on the field from both teams.
Man, what a game.
I was surprised. Are you surprised Mesidor came back? He looked like it was Dunzo.
Hey, did you see the size of that intangible who fell on him?
You could see was you could see a hand. Over
I here. Thought he was done for.
Are you? What was more painful? The intangible that fall on him, or the arm hitting the helmet before that?
Both.
The arm hitting the helmet was bad.
Could have been, but that's like funny bone stuff.
I was like,
not the way it was bent, like that.
Dude. Yeah. It was. I couldn't believe that he was back in the game. I thought he was cooked.
But then somebody just cooked. Said, yeah, they went to the locker room and get an arm brace. I'm like, okay, that doesn't look like an arm brace is going to save you from that type of injury.
I mean,
3 plays later, he's back on the field.
I think that's just not even
he missed like 2 plays.
Dude, I think that's just what makes this team so likable. They're all just fighting through so much stuff to get out there. Frederick, same thing, got banged up. He's doing it again. Moten was playing on one damn leg, one
dude,
play.
Did you see that block? Listen, you're a different type of individual. If you're able to withstand and hold your own against a guy on one leg that's equivalent to you in weight and strength. He was defending a blocker on one leg.
Man, this is a crazy thing, man. What a performance. And the fact that they get to do it in their building. They haven't been in their building in 2 months. Remember, it was funny because everybody was like, man, the Canes haven't left Florida all year. And then they have to go on this just gigantic road to get back home. And I just think that's so cool, dude. Because think about this, man. Like, how many stupid shows have we done, Leroy, about the stadium? Like, the Canes have felt, in a way, you know, they felt homeless because everybody has this love for the Orange Bowl, and now there's a baseball stadium there. And, you know, nobody has been able to catch that magic. But the big games that have been there have been awesome. And the fact that you get to have this moment in your city, in that giant facility, that beautiful facility, off that canopy. Now, the prices are exorbitant. Oh, my God.
That's what I was about to say.
They are Super Bowl prices. They are crazy.
My nephew asked me if he could get, you know, tickets, you know, for the game. I said, let me check with my boy. So I called my boy Dave. And the way it works is you put in your request for the tickets, right? And as soon as the game's over with, they swipe your card. So he got tickets. And as soon as the game ended and it was confirmed that the Canes were going, they swiped. Same thing with the last. He went to every game. So he went to the Cotton Bowl. He went to the Fiesta Bowl. And as soon as the game was over, they swiped for next week.
Fans.
Right? And he said, face value. This is not secondary market. This is face value to ticket holders. $1,100.
Woo! That's not. Well,
wow. Where?
Huh?
Where? What seats?
Where are they at? The seats.
I think he got club seats.
That's not bad.
Nosebleed is like 500.
I saw nosebleeds way more than that.
I just saw nosebleeds.
Well, that's secondary market.
Yeah, secondary market.
SeatGeek. He's a ticket. Like,
he's a season ticket holder. Yeah, I got you.
Right.
SeatGeek's cheapest ticket right now is $2,400 for the nosebleeds.
Yeah.
Oof. This is so cool. And it's going to be such a scene.
Well, here's what I think. If it's Indiana versus Miami, it's going to be a lot of red and green. Indiana's traveling. If it's Oregon versus Miami, I think it'll be 85-90% Canes fans, because that's a long trip for Oregon. That's a long trip for Oregon folks to do twice. Remember, they were here not too long. They were here 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago.
Yeah, right. That's true.
So for them to
But you know what's crazy? They were talking about it during the Orange Bowl. And basically what they said, with the national championship being here, that's why the crowd isn't going to be as big for the Orange Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, dude, you said yesterday, wasn't it $25 for a ticket at the Fiesta Bowl?
At the Fiesta Bowl yesterday.
It was like, tickets weren't, I mean, what UM? There's not a lot of UM and Ole Miss people going to be going out there.
The only thing I saw that from the Canes standpoint, I think when the last I checked, it was like Tuesday, and somebody announced that the Canes only had like, I think like 400 or something left of their allotment. Like, it wasn't a ton. They whatever their allotment was that they got to sell, they sold most of them.
I think they go 50-50.
So they did. I didn't feel like it was overwhelmingly Ole Miss, but also, I don't know if that was because the Canes controlled so much of the game, I didn't really notice it.
Right, because they weren't, but it got a little chippy with the Ole Miss fans at the end.
Well, they don't know what to do with themselves. I mean, Lane Kiffin has put them in hell.
Oh, you know Lane was happy, boy.
That they lost?
Yeah, absolutely. He was like,
I want my coaches back.
He put his heartbreak emoji last night, and then this morning goes, oh, well, go Tiger.
Exactly. If you really
like, right back to it.
Hey, if you really
why does everybody have to say TIGA? Right?
Oh, like, man. We'll take a break. The Dolphins have hired a new GM. We will touch on that as well, of course. John Eric Sullivan has been hired.
I like talking about the Canes.
I kind of like talking about the Canes too. And honestly, I want to hear a little bit of Joe Zagacki and DBJ last night. So we got a little montage for you coming in for a little ear candy. If you didn't get to hear the game last night, we'll replay some of the calls for you coming in the top of next hour. Back after this.